Well, good evening. You know, it's here we are, just a few days away from Christmas. Can you believe that? Unbelievable. You know, I can't imagine. I mean, I could imagine, but think about how, as a young kid, as I used to hear my parents says, "Boy, these days and months are just flying by." And I think, what are you talking about? They're just summer nights were the longest. Man, stayed all night just running down the streets, and now it's like, man, these days are just flying. And I guess because we're just getting older, huh? But in any case, hey, Monday night, make sure. You know, for some, I don't know how many of you were Catholic growing up in Catholic Church. That's one of our traditions of you know, Christmas Eve services. So let's pack this place out. Especially you former Catholics, we can do this. You know, we got a lot of connections out there. You know, invite the neighborhood and even those rugrats that we may not like. You know, we get them out here and get them saved. So be here Monday night, really encourage this. And this is a great season to do this. I mean, to me, I say there's the two greatest Christian events in our lives. His birth and his resurrection. And you know, and the world just what tatens that. They have a guy running around in red tights passing out gifts. Money that you work hard to put your kids, you know, give them gifts. And you know, why should some guy in a red suit that's out of shape get all the credit? And then his resurrection of all things, right? They have a bunny dropping eggs. Now, I'm sure we all, you know, didn't all grow up in Norwalk. I mean, Norwalk gives us an education, but I didn't see in my textbook that bunny drops eggs. They drop pellets. That's one hurting bunny. Oh, you just got it, huh? But, you know, our society, you know, we really try to take away from the true meaning of our Christian faith. And you know, and this is where, you know, our whole foundation of his birth and why he came. And so let's celebrate his birth and to recognize, I mean, he should have one of the greatest birthday celebration ever. And, you know, so really encourage you to make an effort inviting your neighbors and friends and co-workers and family members to be here tonight, Monday night, to enjoy just a great Christmas. And what a way to start it off. And so I pray that tonight, and hey, we're going to, you know, I'm sure we're going to finish 1 Peter by the end of the year. So that's interesting. That's great. So what a way to start it off. Anyways, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is the last chapter in 1 Peter, and kind of a little introduction of all of the Lord's disciples. Who would have imagined Peter would share the words in this text about leaders of the church? And this particular, probably the next seven verses, just deals a lot with the leadership, the ministry aspect of it, those that are potential leaders. And he puts some things and jots some things down for us to really examine. And this is something that we should all look at. If you're in a leadership position, looking to come into leadership position, these are some of the things that Peter himself exhorts the church and really kind of, I want to say, exhorts them to say, hey, look, examine your heart. And so we're going to cover a few verses that really talks about our role as leaders and our roles in serving and in ministry. And this is a thing that's very important to all of us. The question we've got to ask ourselves tonight, have we turned off people because of our witness, because of our faith? You know, have we discouraged people because of how we represent the Lord or whatever may be? And so this is something that we need to always examine our hearts and our lives. And so he talks about this, and Peter kind of argued with some of the disciples because he started to look at some things, and especially when Jesus started to talk about his coming suffering and about his death. He starts to open up over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. He talks about it, and he says this, and he says, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And so, you know, and here's an area they're asking the Lord, well, tell me, Lord, what must I do? You know, how do I really know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And so, and then we find Peter arguing with the other disciples about who was the greatest of those in the kingdom to come. Over in Mark's chapter 9, he says in verse 33, he was in Capernaum, or he says, being in the house, he asked, who is it that would dispute among yourselves on this? And he says, and they held peace for every on their own way and disputed among themselves who shall be the greatest. You know, sometimes there's jealousy that happens in ministry. It's sad that you would find that in the church, people arguing who has the better ministry, who has the most popular ministry. And I'm glad I had prison ministry because it's not popular at all, you know, and but it's one of the greatest rewards of ministry, though, and stuff. But it's a ministry that we look at that, and here, and Peter says, what are you guys doing? You know, and who's the greatest? And you know, it's like, this is not a competition thing. And sometimes in our lives, you know, we have this, you know, I want to be the greatest and I want to be the best disciple. And so here, Peter, like his fellow disciples, were unwilling to take the place of a servant in, during the Passover celebration. And neither was immediately willing for his Lord to do it. And the Gospel of John, verse 13, verse 6 and 9 says, after he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel in which he was girded with, and he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, don't wash my feet. Now, can you imagine? So tonight we're going to have a foot washing service. No. You know, but here it's like Peter says, Lord, why are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered to him and says, you know, what I do thou knowest not for now. And then Peter was kind of like, no, Lord, I should be washing yours. And he says, no. And then finally Peter says, Lord, not only my feet, wash me all. And the Lord says, I'm not going to do that. I'm just washing the humility. And so we're going to see this in here and some of the example that Peter shares. You know, washing someone's feet is really really humbling. You know, if there was a foot washing service, what most of you here, I would probably say 80% of you, would go home and wash your feet and put clean socks on just to make sure they smell pretty and probably even polish them up a little bit. Even if you weren't a girl, you would just polish them because you want to look like you have good toenails, you know, and stuff. But it was just a thing that you look at and because you don't want to take your shoe and have stinky feet, you know, but it's really humbling. And so he talks about this, and then, you know, and as it goes on, when Peter exhorted the elders, the shepherd the flock in 1 Peter chapter 2, which we'll look at, it was reminded words to Peter in the Gospel of John 21, verse 15, when they had denied the Lord. And remember, we've talked about this last week and the week before, when Peter had denied the Lord, and Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, he says, lovest thou me, thee? And he said unto him, yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said, yeah, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And then he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved in his heart, and said unto him, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. And so, you know, we look at these things. And why do we bring some of these things up? Because it's important to understand what the Lord wants to convey to us tonight. When Peter instructed the church elders not to lord over those that were in their care, this was something that we see in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. We're reminded of the Lord's words in Matthew's 20, when he says, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know the prince of the Gentiles, okay, exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be among you. He says, look, God brought these people out of bondage. Let's not put them back into bondage. You know, there's sometimes churches has people doing some weird things. And I remember when I was a very young Christian, you know, a little small church, They you know, if you were late, they would want you to wear a sign, a little kind of thing, and says that I was late to church. You know, I says, what is that about? And, you know, I almost laid hands on somebody. You know, and I says, I'm not going to wear that. Not that I wasn't late, but I was thinking in my mind. You know, and just weird things, you know. And you know, it's like when God brings us out of bondage, he doesn't put us back into bondage. And so Peter was exhorting the elders, hey, be careful, because there was some things going on in the church that got weird. And he says, look, when he called them out, don't put them, don't lord over, because they were already being lord over by the wicked one that had dominion over them and those that he set up in places. And so he was very concerned about that. He says, but whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. He said, even the Son of Man came not to minister unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for others. This is the part we see our lives as Christians, is that, you know, we're not here to be served. I remember quite a few years I would speak at a lot, especially some of the denominational churches, and I always felt weird. But as soon as I got out of my car, they wanted to carry my Bible and walk me up, and it's like I was somebody of great importance. And they would put me in a big chair that was four times my size. It was a chair that even Frank wouldn't fit in, and stuff. And it was just humongous. And I felt like I was this small among this big church. And they had orange juice and water, and I'm thinking, well, okay. And I'm thinking, I must have to be preaching like 3 or 4 hours, because they want to make sure I have some energy. And I remember the very first time, and they had the usherettes that had the nice light white hat, and I thought they were nurses, and I said, wow, am I going to go out on this? And they're going to be, you know, and I'm just thinking, and the traditional, and it was great, but I got used to it, and I understood what everything meant, but it was like a lot of this was, why did I even go there? Okay, but in any case, it's like they had these things that were set up for a reason, and it's just that we see these things, and it's just like, hey, we don't need to get caught up with all this madness. But we also see that the humility and the humbleness, being a servant of God, is to love and to be there. But they would treat you like, that's what it was, they would treat you like you're something special. And I said, no, I'll carry my Bible. No, I'll do this. And I just felt weird, you know, and stuff. So, you know, we have to sometimes realize that, you know, we're here to serve, not to be served. And not to be put on a pedestal, something that it's great to recognize the authority of when God has put a person in position of ministry. We recognize that person for what God has done, but not to elevate where we're something special. We're just human beings. We're people, you know, and stuff. And so he talks about this. Even as Christ, he came and he was a ransom for many. He gave of his life. When Peter he urges to close yourself with humility, this is an area that I think we struggle. We say that we're humble people, but to put on humility is really another asset in our lives. And we can hardly miss the allusion here of the example of the teaching of our Lord in the Gospel of John 13, when he clothed himself with a towel as a servant and washed the disciples' feet. Here, all the disciples should have been washing his feet. But no, but as the master, and he sets an example. He goes, if I'm able to do this, so shall you. Given and leaving us as an example to what it to be like as a servant. And, you know, and we have to realize, too, and sometimes, and we'll say, well, I'm not a leader, so it doesn't affect me. No, you know, we all have a call, and we all have a part of ministry, even if it's to your neighbor, you know, and it's to minister. Because I'm sure your neighbors know you're a Christian, that you love God. And, you know, and what great way to be a witness to them. And to really share the example of what it is to be a Christian. Because a lot of people has a misunderstanding because they see so much TV evangelists, and there's some weirdos on TV, and, you know, that we got to be careful of. And they stereotype that, you know, oh, they're all like that, you know. And, And we need to be careful. And so we need to let them see that we're a servant. We're here to help and come alongside you, neighbor, and say, hey, can I help you with that? And can I give you a hand? You know, and looking at what that consists of. Peter's words were not just to the elders, nor even to the leaders. These words were addressed to all. And, you know, sometimes, and you can say, well, I'm not an elder, I'm not a leader, I'm not involved in ministry, but it's to all. Because sometimes this can hit in relationships too. You know, having power over your spouse, having power over your relationships and many things others. Guilt trip. Use the word of God to benefit you and to really use the word as a crutch to use it to justify your behavior, your action. And I see this happen a lot in churches, you know, where that word is being used and misused to say, well, the Bible says you have to submit. And I remember, and I'm going to share this, but I remember a few years ago, there was a situation with, it has to do with my daughter, and she was dating someone, and they all of a sudden was telling her she couldn't go do ministry, and I said, what do you mean? You know, you can't go with your dad or you can't do this unless I give you permission. You know, now, first of all, she's my daughter. Don't mess with my daughter like that. And so, you know, and so then I had to go and talk to his pastor. And his pastor says that she needs to submit. And I almost laid hands on him. And stuff. And I said, you're not going to do this. You know, and stuff, but it's like, you know, that shepherding and that control, you know, and to dictate, and it's just like, no, you know, and so you look at situations and things happen, and so you got to be careful with this, and so we look at situations of how, you know, the addressing leaders and people where the controlling issues may be, and all because you may not, it's just like, hey, this can affect everything. And so, and talking with experience and how that occurs and can happen. And so here he addresses everybody looking to the Holy Spirit to make their meaning and application to clear our minds. That we're not distracted and distorted. And one of those ways is when you're in fellowship. When you're in the Word. See, when you're in the Word, you know, he has that little, you know, that Holy Spirit alarm goes off when things are not right. And all of a sudden, just like, whoa, because you're in fellowship. But when you're in fellowship with the Word, that Holy Ghost, that Holy Spirit sets off its alarm because you're sensitive to His Spirit. And when you're in prayer and you're seeking God, and He starts showing, you know, when you go to a church and all of a sudden you're sitting there, you're a guest, and all of a sudden, well, that doesn't seem right, you know. But, you know, because why? When you're in the Word, you're fluent to hear His voice and to know His voice. And you know what the Lord likes, and you know what He doesn't like, and you know what He teaches. And so it's being consistent with His Word. And so here, and it says, in a clear in our minds, but also in our lives. You know, because our life's going to kind of set the example of our behavior, of what we do. You know, how we live our lives. You know, we're not going to go and be weirded out. When we're living our life as a Christian, as a woman of God, or a man of character, or a woman of prayer, or a man of faith, you know, these characteristics starts to develop automatically. Because why? We're sensitive to the Spirit of God, and we're sensitive to the Word. And, you know, and so we see the transformation. So the structure of the text are really divided, and Peter puts down three impressive indications of the structure of the arguments in our, not the arguments, I should say, but argues the areas in our text of what we ought to be and what we need to be careful. And so one is elders taking charge, and he tells us this in verse 2, and he says, shepherd the flock. He says, this is an area that we need to do our part of shepherd the flock. And second, younger men, follow, be subject to the things that God has shown you, especially if you're coming up in ministry. We want to be sitting right up in front and hearing the Word and says, God, I need to get fed as much as I can because I want to know everything that you want me to know, especially when God is starting to speak. And if you're feeling that God is calling you, and I would say this especially in relationships. You're looking for a man, or you're looking for a woman, best place is find them in church. But make sure they're solid, because you know what? There's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, if they don't smell like a lamb, barbecue them, you know, and stuff. But it's like, I shouldn't say don't smell. Don't be sniffing people, man. But you need to really look at that, you know, making sure they're in the Word and they're solid, you know, that they have a love and a passion for the Lord. Second, humble yourself. Clothe yourself in humility. This is an area that we see even as Christians, is that the humility. It's hard to be humble, especially when someone just, you know, just want to rock your world and they don't know anything about you. Let me share you an illustration that's something that happened several years ago. And kind of ashamed to say it, but, we're all real. And let me share this with you. I mean, I was at Five Points in Norwalk on the corner of Rosecrans and Pioneer and San Antonio, where it all meets. And it's probably about 11 o'clock. I'm putting gas in my car. And it was at a Shell gas station. And I'm in shorts, and I have a hoodie on, and I'm putting gas, and I'm hearing this guy, the pump behind me, talking and say, "Hey, old man, don't be looking over here." And I'm thinking, this guy, I'm kind of just pumping my gas and thinking, this guy's really being disrespectful to this old guy that's putting gas in, and so. You know, and he kind of keeps talking to this, you know, person. And I said, I got to say something. This, you know, he can't be talking to this old guy like that. So I look over, and there's no old guy there. And I'm looking around, and he's talking to me. I wasn't even conversating with this guy. And I look in his car. He's got his young girlfriend, whatever. And I'm thinking, this guy has no idea who I am and what I could do to him. So what do? I start looking for cameras. You know, it's like your old nature just kicks in. And it says, let me just put his head through the windshield. And I can show what this old man can do. And I said, and God said, what are you thinking? Humbling him. You know, and it's just like, but you know what? It's your flesh can so easily arise. The enemy would love to do that. See me on the 7 o'clock news or whatever. Pastor bashing a young kid's head in for the gospel. You know, and it's just like, that doesn't get it. You know, but how the enemy is not, you know, he likes it. And that's why I said we've got to be reminded, because when you think you're strong is really when you're vulnerable to be weak. And I'm thinking, I'm just minding my own business. I'm putting gas in my car. I'm trying to help this guy from protect this old man from being hurt. And this guy is talking about to me. You know, and what he was trying to impress his girlfriend that, you know, hey, you know, and all this. And but, you know, things like this, and you just got to let it roll off. And it's, you know, it's humbling, because you're like, if you only knew what I was capable of doing, you know, and your mind just goes over and over and over and over, you know. But that's where the enemy, you just got to guard your heart. You got to guard your thoughts, because the enemy is what? Not done with us. And he would like to do whatever he can to ruin that testimony. And so here, now as we get into our text. What an introduction to get into a text, huh? Chapter 5, let's pray. Father, I pray you would minister to all of our hearts and lives. Thank you so much for the God that you are, a God of mercy, a God of peace, a God of all comfort, and a God of grace. So minister to our hearts and to our lives as we take a look at these few verses, that you would just really be compelled to minister to our hearts and to give us insight, to give us guidance as we take a look at these verses that Peter's so right to the church and to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So here he says in chapter 5, verse 1. Now, Peter writes about the death of the glory of the Lord. And he's really talking about his glory, what it was to see the Lord going through. He says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. He goes, look, for those that are among us and for those that are among you, I exhort. He goes, I come to you and exhort you. He says, who am I an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory and shall be revealed. He says, look, I firsthand witness the suffering of Christ, you know. And this is something he says, look, I want to challenge you to take serious about your commitment and your relationship. And I think even as us as Christians, we need to take serious about what we do and how we're serving God. And a lot of us says, hey, I've done that when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Then don't make provision for the flesh to come in to ruin the testimony that God has laid upon your life and upon your heart. And so as Peter, he writes about the death of our Lord in his glory, to the fact of having partaking of seeing his death. He also shares the importance of saying, look, I've seen the suffering, but also the partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. And knowing that we're going to see his glory. And this is the theme of our life. Our hope is to see the resurrection. Just like for the believer, when they die knowing that the hope and the glory is to be in the presence of the Almighty. You know, when I do a celebration of life, when someone passes away, we talk about the celebration, the hope, as though that may seem to have no hope, we have hope in Christ. Why? Because we know beyond any doubts and any other issues is that us that are believers, when we close our eyes, when we open them up again, we're going to see Christ face to face. And what glory is that to the fact of saying, man, you know, the glory that we have is to be able to see that. You know, what greater joy and what greater glory that we can express to be able to see that. But he also tells us here, very important, is to feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight of it, not by constraint, but willingness, not by filthy lucre, but a ready mind. And so here he says, look, feed the flock of God. We have a responsibility to nurture and that's what I like about the ministry here. Everybody's like, what can I do to help? How can I assist you? That's what body ministry is all about. And I'm sure that many of you have been welcomed in and asking you, hey, is there something I can do for you? Or is there somewhere I can show you, you know, or, you know, the instruction? Because that's the atmosphere that we want to portray to you, that we're a loving body. And this is a loving family. This is a family that we call family. You know, this is, for many of us, this is like, wow, I finally found a family that's a family. And it's great when you have that. And to what God is showing us. But he also says this, he tells us, and very important, is taking oversight of it. You know, taking responsibility. When you see something, you take care of the need immediately. You know, and you take charge of it, but not by constraint. Hey, you're going to pick that up? No. You grab by the jacket? Yes, you are. You know, we don't want to do that. We want to be able to let where the love of Christ just flows. You know, or, you know, see the ushers, you know, put something in there. You know, we don't want to be constrained. You know, we're not going to shake you down as you get out. Although Frank's pretty big. We can put him at the back door and make sure your pockets are empty. No, you know, but it's like, it's not about constraint. It's about being a servant, being humble. And this is what he talks to us about, you know, not filthy lucre. You know, it's not about money. It's not about this. And he says, but yet of a ready mind. I just want to be used of the Lord. And, you know, sometimes we underestimate what God can do, because some of us, like me, we just really had a former education. You know, some of us weren't the sharpest tool in the shed, you know, and it's like, man, I just barely got through high school. I did. You know, I mean, I went to a public school, and, you know, I didn't get my degree after several years of being in ministry, being a pastor, but you know what, I mean, I bought my teachers off, a tie stick. For you back in the 70s, tie sticks were a pretty big thing back in the 70s, you know, and, you know, party with the other teachers, and, you know, and I graduated, you know, but it wasn't the right graduation that I should have had, because I really didn't earn it that way, nor earn it right. And so here, and so he talks about this, you know, having a ready mind, not being a filthy lucre, you know, where it's just greed. But over here, this is something to me that's very important. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 20, And Paul shares this, and I want to share a few verses in Acts 20. Hey, first of all, and I want to move up to 27 because I think it's very important. He says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto all the counsel of God." Right away, he says, look, Paul's saying, hey, I never kept anything back from you but telling you the truth. I've never shunned anything but to give you the whole gospel as it is. And here, verse 28, where it starts to kick off here, take heed. Now, he says this is the part that we ourselves, even as leaders, potential leaders, those that are coming in ministry, it says, examine your heart. This is an exhortation to all of us, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, which the Holy Spirit had made you overseer. God's given us a responsibility of those that we've taken under our wing to disciple. And this is something that we should always look at. Look for a Timothy in your life. And it's not so much that, well, you're going to take on my responsibility as head usher. Or you're going to, you know, I'm just looking for potential of raising people up. You don't have to be a pastor to disciple somebody or nurture somebody. You just have to have a heart to want to serve. It's our willingness to want to raise up people and to minister to people. Hey, have you thought of maybe getting involved in the children's ministry? Have you thought of being involved in the parking lot ministry or the helps ministry or the bookstore ministry or, you know, ushering? You know, there's so many aspects in ministries that getting people to say, hey, you know, well, I don't know if I'm qualified. Hey, we're all qualified when it comes to the things of God. Maybe it just takes a little time, but, you know, as we sit in the Word and as we see a potential of looking for people that can be used of the Lord, and it says, and then he says, and hath made you overseer. God has put many of us in positions to be able to really look after others and how we can go after them and minister and train them up to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood. Now, some of us think, because we're given a position right away, it's like, you got to do this as though it was your blood, you know. But this is Christ's blood that he, and we have, you know, a great responsibility of looking at what he did for us and says, hey, I wanted to be a sponge to absorb all that God has and what he can use and how he could use me. And I want to take full benefit of all the things that God has. And it's amazing. The more you give of yourself, the more God reveals to himself to you. You know, and it's a mind blower because for some of us, it's hard to believe we're here on a Wednesday night. You know, and it's like, hey, we thought we would never be in church, much less during a midweek service. But you know what? God has just converted our minds and our thoughts, and he's given us, a whole new direction. And we can't just wait to be in church, to hear the word and allow the word to what minister to our hearts and to our lives. He says, for I know this after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, Paul was really having a struggle here because he knew it was a time that he wanted to depart and be with the Lord. And I think like many of us, Lord, I just want to be in your presence. But there was a real struggle that was going on. Paul was like a pillar in the church. And he was one that was really looked to as one of the main leaders that everybody gone to. And he stood for what was right. And, you know, he was just a little bitty guy. But, man, I don't know about you, but there was a little guy I used to like because I'm a little guy. And us little guys sticks together. And you know, hey, great blessing comes in small packages for y'all tall people, you know. And no, but it's like, what's blessing is this. Well, I shouldn't say a blessing is this. You guys ever remember an old cartoon character called Baboon? I love that guy. No matter where he went, he just opens up, Baboon, and just mountains would blow open, you know, and he would just walk through it. I said, I like that guy. He made his own path. He made his own way. But, you know, we look at these things, and it's just like, but see here, Paul, you know, was a little bitty guy, but he was very powerful, was used very powerful. And he stood for what was right. And so he said, look, he knew that after his departure, grievous wolves will come in, not sparing. And you know what happened? And you know Well, let me just finish reading here. Also of yourselves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. And he goes, he knows that, man, people will come in and they will just start speaking madness and everything else to draw people away, confuse them. But those that gets confused is those that lack the word. Those that gets misled is those that are not in the word. You know, they say 7 days without the word makes 1 week. You know, 7 days without the word, you know, and it's like if we don't feed on his word, we could be really weakened in our Christian faith. That's why it's so important daily to be in the word. So important that we fellowship with the Lord on a regular basis. You know, we have devotionals that are in the bookstore. What greater way, you know, if you have a problem struggling in the morning to get in the word, pick up one of those devotionals. Hey, they're little nuggets. There's several different devotionals. Pick up with something that will suit you just to think about on your way to work. You read and you got a scripture or something. You think about, God, what are you speaking to me about? And letting the word just richly dwell in you. And so he tells us, watch. Therefore, watch and remember that for the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. To me, when I read that years ago, I remember that I said, man, for the space of 3 years, Paul just cried out for the church day and night, wept over the church. I probably should ask you, when was the last time you just really wept over and just really prayed for our community, for this church? Lord, just bring. Lord, just add to the church that we. Evangelism doesn't start out there. Evangelism starts right here in our house with you and I. Lord, just convict my heart. Lord, just strengthen my heart and bring them in. How can they hear without a preacher? Some of you are just that. Bringing the gospel to them. That's why I said, man, get the bulletins. When you're at the grocery, some people are just stressing. This is the season where everybody stresses. Be nice. Hey, can I give you a bulletin of our church? The address says, why don't you come and check us out? Fight people. That's a great witnessing tool. Getting people, inviting them to church. You know, it's just so important when we look at it. You know, it's like, Lord, you know, of just really coming before the Lord. And you know, as we have the New Year service and kicking off, going into the New Year, what greater way of doing that is to pray. Like I said, for years, both our homes, they pray the New Year in. And when they're done, it's like 720, whoa, they really pray. You know, 1220, and you know, it's like, it's already in the New Year. But what greater way to pray in 2019, you know, and coming into that year with prayer, laying the foundation. You know, that just adds to our faith, our character as men and as women of the word to add to our faith and to look at that this year, I'm going to serve God greater than I ever had in this past year. Because I want my Christian witness, my Christian life to stand for something. To be greater in the upcoming year. And so then he tells us, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being an example to the flock. And this is what God wants us to be, the example. Man, when I see people where their whole life just kind of just amplifies or examine or to really to portray Christ in their conversation. And it's not that it's fake. You know, you see sometimes people walk around, thus saith the Lord, how art thou? You know, it's like, what? Since when were you King James? You know, just be yourself. But when people you just see it in their countenance, you hear it in their voice, they just love so much of the Lord. Just like, you just want to hang out with them. Because you just see so much of Christ in them. And that's to me is like, wow. And so here, Peter tells us that in verse 3, neither being lord over God's heritage, don't lord over them. If God brought them out of bondage, it's not for us to put them back into bondage. And especially you single sisters, there's a lot of weird old guys out there, you know, and you start dating, they all look great and they all seem great. And all of a sudden, they start putting demands on you. And you're not even married to them yet. And now, I'm not going to go there right now. That's for another time. But God didn't bring you out of bondage to put you back into bondage, but being an example to the flock. We all want to be examples to one another of the transformation of what God's doing. Man, some of you are living epistles. Man, God's brought you out of some amazing things in life. And if people get to know who you are, they'll see the power of God to what he's done in and through you. It's amazing. He says, and you know, and we see that, and he says this in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd, meaning the head pastor, who is Christ, shall appear, shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. A crown of life, a crown of glory. And this talks about the crown in which you serve, and when that crown is given to us, and all those rubies are put on, what is this crown? Why are we given a crown? That we can lay at the feet of Jesus when we come to worship him is what we've done in our life here as Christians. How you give of your offering, how you serve the Lord, how you dedicate yourself in ministry. These are things that are placed, and when you see it, it's like, you want rubies in this crown to lay before the Lord, says Lord. My whole life was just dedicated. When I surrendered, it was dedicated to serve you. And that's why it becomes so important in our lives, that our faithfulness to the Lord. Not just to his kingdom, but while we're here on earth. That our life is consistent of being faithful to the things that God has placed us in and position that he's given us. Is that, God, I want to be faithful. I want to serve you. And I don't want there anything to get in the way. But the crown of life. And that crown of life is based on the fact of our heart of service while we're here. While we've dedicated ourselves to serve God with all of our lives. And you know what? I look forward to the day where I could be given this crown and laid at the feet of Jesus. And we look at ourselves to say, man, God, that would be just one awesome thing. That's to show that what I've done. You know what? And let me tell you something. We all go through persecution in our life. We all go through trials. All that counts. He says there's not a tear that goes by that he doesn't put in a bottle. When we're going through things we hurt in our lives because of our faithfulness to want to serve God. God, I'm committed. You know how the enemy tries to rip us off and blindside us to be discouraged and to be bummed out. You know, it's to me, it's one great joy of like, man, anytime that I have an opportunity to serve and to do, that's what I want to do. Is to be busy of what the Lord's called us to do. And it's a crown that fadeth not. Now some of, I remember I have trophies and medals that I had years, and I remember, and I wish I would never done this, but I had all kinds of trophies and medals that I've won in sports, and I remember it says your crowns and things should be perished and thrown. And I took that kind of literally, and I got all my stuff and threw it all away. Except my one medal, my first medal that I ever won in nationals. And I gave it to my mom and I said, you can have this. She said, what are you doing? That's a lot of money. And it was. I could have pawned that thing, man, and got some money out of it. But I wasn't thinking, you know. And it's just like, but to me, it's like what we have on this earth perishes. But this is one crown that will never perish or fade away. Our service, God sees. Our commitment, he sees. Our faithfulness, he sees. Our brokenness, he sees. Our love, he sees. Our unconditional commitment, he sees. And he says, in like manner, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. And I'm not just talking about age. Young in the ministry, coming up in ministry. For those that are mature and the elders of the church, he says, submit yourselves to the elders. Yea, all you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and give grace to the humble. He says, look, give of yourself to those. And sometimes being humble where that person that you're looking who's an elder may be younger than you. I'm not going to listen to you. You're just a young buck. I remember for years, I was counseling people, and I wasn't even married at the time. And I remember, you know, where I was counseling people that were already, you know, been married for 30 years, and I only been married for a year. And people, son, how old are you? And I would never give my age. And they said, I'm kind of really impressed that, you know, you would know someone because you seem so young. But, you know, and it can't be because of what you, and it all goes back to this, it's the counsel of the word. It's his word. And that's what we look at. Don't let age fool you. But the wisdom of God's word is what we're basing it and what God speaks to us and ministers to our hearts and to our lives. And so here, we, you know, for years I would never say my age. But now I could say I'm 32. No. You know, but no, but it's like I'm not 32. But it's a thing that we see how he says, look, you younger, submit to the elders, especially coming up in ministry. You know, to me as a young person in ministry, to me, I just wanted to be used of the Lord. Anybody that, to me, that I seen that were just serving God, and just I wanted to be next to them because I wanted to get everything that God has. Because I didn't make this commitment in my relationship to be on the sidelines. I made a commitment to serve God. And if he is what everybody claims to be, I want to be part of that. And tonight, we're part of that. We're part of that vision of what God's doing. Especially where God's taking us in the year 2019, we want to be part of that vision, part of what God's doing in our lives and in our hearts is God. I don't want to be sitting on the sidelines here. I want to be used. And yeah, you may have trials, but I'll tell you, the more you get used by God, the more God flows into your life. And the more that he shows you, the more he shows you, the more he gives. And the more he gives, the more you're going to be used. And that's where the glory is. Some of us say, well, I'm busy. Yeah, you may be busy, but it's amazing how God starts working that time structure out in our lives. And we realize that we weren't as busy as we thought. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And this is an area that we see that's very powerful and very important, is to humble ourselves. You know, sometimes it's very humbling to, you know, to come to a place, but you know what? God's timing. He exalts you. Where you think that no one's looking, no one, hey, people don't have to look. You don't have to weave, okay, now I'm going to get busy. You know, hey, God sees your heart. And that's what's more important. It's not whether or not that Pastor John or any of the pastors on staff sees what you're doing. What you want to be looking for is what the Lord sees you done. Because see, God will speak to Pastor John and the elders and the leaders. And that's what we want to be. See, God wants to see your heart as being a true servant. Not one to be impressive because, see, you know, we're always the type of people that wants to impress people. Sometimes we're people pleasers. We just want to please people. What God's looking for are people that just is very humble and, you know, not looking for being exalted. God will do the exalting when the time is right. Over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, I'm sorry. Verse 5. It says, for everyone who is proud in his heart is abomination to the Lord. Though hand joined in hand, he shall not be unpunished. And then verse 18 says this, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, this is something that we see is not to be boastful of yourself, you know, and pat yourself on the back and, hey, look what I've done, look what I've accomplished. And, you know, just being simple and just being humble. You don't have to let people know what you've done. Just do it. Let God exalt you. Let God raise you up. Let God show. God will show it to people. Your handiwork. Your work. God has a way, and God is so unique that he has a way of speaking to people and speaking. And sometimes we may be just waiting in there. Okay. Did anyone know yet? Coming, standing at the door, just looking, making sure you're wearing a bright red shirt that you could be recognized, that you did something. It's like, because see, in your heart, it's not right. Don't be looking for all that. It could be weeks later. You know, it's like when you finally settle down, it's like no one's seen it. I knew I should have said something. You know, and all of a sudden, hey, I just want to say thank you for so. Huh? You know? Because, see, sometimes it's just our pride that gets in the way to what God wants to do and show us. Next week, we'll finish off 1 Peter. And it'll be great. I don't know where you are tonight. You know, we're coming into the Christmas season and the birth of our Lord. And, you know, sometimes this is, you know, really, let me just say this. This could be the greatest Christmas present you can ever give the Lord, is your heart. Of you, some of you maybe have gotten things going on or you know, areas of things you kind of surrender. Says, Lord, this Christmas, I want to give you my heart, undivided. I don't want nothing. My gift, Lord, is that I want to give you everything and all. I you know, this year maybe it's been a struggle, and I've hung on to some issues and some things in my life that I'm not really proud of, and I got myself into some areas this last year that just really find myself being really depressed about it because I've known better. But I want to give you my heart this Christmas. This Christmas, I want to be able to enjoy the celebration of your birth. And I want to start it off by surrendering everything to you tonight. Because as I enter in Monday night, this Christmas Eve, and to be able to sit, I want to sit with a joyful heart to know that I got no strings attached to this world or to the bondage of this world. And I'm going to enter this new year of 2019 with a new joy in my heart and a new spirit within me. As Pastor John, myself, and Pastor James, and Pastor Eric, and Danny, I think I seen Danny. Was Pastor Danny here? No? Okay. And whoever else is here, and Sally, and we're just going to come up. We're just going to be here to pray. And just to pray for you. And I'm going to have Patricia come up if she don't mind, my wife. And for you ladies, you know, not that we can't pray for you, but just to be able to come up and pray. Hey, this is the time. Hey, we're finishing just right before, so don't get mad at me. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and just what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. It's what a joy, Lord. The exhortation that Peter brings to us about humility and being humbled and not lording over what things you have given us and where have you taken us, but the joy that you've placed in our hearts and our lives. So, Father, thank you. And I just pray if there's things that, Lord, as we, before we enter in New Year's Eve, that we can enter with great joy and peace, celebrating your birth and knowing that our slate has been clean, and as our gift that we're giving our hearts to you, not allowing any strings to be attached, that we don't have to worry about the burden being burdensome by the things around us or the things that we've been entrapped in this last year or the struggles that we seem to have had. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.
Hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin, Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, than thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. Better is one day your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out to you, the living God, your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen, come once again to me. I will draw near to you, I will draw near to you. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, than thousands elsewhere.
And Father, we thank you so much for your love and for your peace and what you're doing. Lord, you've brought many of us from so many areas in our lives. We can't help but be a thankful people who loves you, who cares and want to adore you. And Lord, just giving us breath that we can breathe and to worship you. We love you, Lord. And I just pray that you will continue to bless our ministry here. Bless our fellowship, our pastoral staff, Father. Just that, Lord, that you would do a work like we've never, ever seen before. So, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and just ask you to minister to all of our hearts, to all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we Before we dismiss, I just want to do something, if you don't mind. I just kind of really felt, and I hope I'm not wrong in doing, not, I can't be wrong in doing this, is praying, but I want to just pray for our pastor, John, and his wife, Sally. So why don't you two come on up here, and let's, I think we, every now and then, we got to pray. You know, sometimes we say, oh, yeah, pray, but you know what? Since we're all gathered together, I just, you know, to me, Pastor John and Sally has done marvelous work here, and we got to constantly remember, I mean, they're in the warfare, and the enemy, man, not liking what God's doing in their lives and the ministry of, I think some of us knows what ministry they have, but deep inside, there's been so much that Pastor John has done in this community, in this church, and Sally, and the ministry of what she's been doing, and with the women's ministry, that we need to pray for our pastor and his wife constantly. And that's something that we should do on a regular basis, and not to forget it, take it for granted, but to put them in your prayer list and be praying for them and stuff. So will you all just stretch your hand forward, and let's just pray for both of them? Father, we just want to thank you for our pastor and his wife and the ministry that you have richly blessed them here, being our leader, being our pastor, just ministering to the church, to the community, the work and the labor they have contributed over many, many years, and the investment that they've had in our lives and in our hearts, Lord. May you cover them by the blood of Jesus and all that they do. Lord, may you strengthen them physically, mentally, and spiritually, Lord. May you guard their home, their house, Lord. May you guard their lives and all that they are, their health. May you be with them, strengthen them, Father, and cover them by the precious blood of Jesus, Lord. Father, we thank you for these two and the work that you've done, and we know that you love what they do. You love what they do, and Lord, we just ask you to continue to strengthen them, continue to have them to lead us and guide us and direct us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
All right, Sunday morning. Hey, for you that are not going, don't work tomorrow, see James. All right, oh, there he is. Make sure you come out Thursday morning, Sunday morning church. Make sure, and then don't forget, you can never get enough of God, okay? Monday night. All right, bless you.